The Daily Mirror calls on you.
Football is about nothing unless it's about something, and what it is about.
I am going to get 100% out of you.
Oh, well, of course, there's a different way.
Welcome back to the Mirror Football Podcast with me, Steve Anglesey. Later on, we've got Simon Bird on Newcastle. We've got Paddy McGuinness on Bolton. But first, he's on his way to Wembley. His knees have gone all trembly. It's Robbie Savage, the Salsa King. How are you?
Hi, mate. Can you start me lunch, mate? Wait there, 1 second. Hang on. Can I have a melon refresher, please?
This is podcast gold.
And a bacon sandwich. I got my score, I'm ready for it now.
And that is what an athlete... an athlete takes on board for Strictly Come Dancing. Very good. A bait and sandwich, a melon refresher, and obviously the bait and sandwich. Let's start with Strictly Come Dancing then. You are going to Wembley this week. What are your memories of going to Wembley before?
Two memories. One very good and one not so good. My first time was when I got just 100% off, which I'm a bit embarrassed about now. And looking back, I did... you know, go down a bit too easy, and then obviously winning it the second year against Tranmere. So, twice in 2 years was a special moment. 100,000 people, the old Wembley, which I still feel the old Wembley, you know, the Twin Towers and coming out from behind the goal was the most special place in football. The new Wembley's nice, but doesn't have the same appeal to me, if I'm being honest. I'm going back as a dancer, and I can't wait. 6,500 people there.
Let's talk about the football then. I mean, a great name associated with Wembley after the West Ham Cup final, Steven Gerrard. He's talking again this week about how he's beginning to fear now he'll never win the title. Is it a big knock on Steven Gerrard if he never wins the title? And is he likely to win the title?
I think he's probably right what he says. I think Steven Gerrard, for me, is the best midfielder, the most complete midfielder I've played against in my career. No question. And you talk about Vieira, Keane, all the greats, and Emmanuel Petit. You know, I've played against people in their primes, Scholes. But for me, Steven Gerrard was the best. Still has got lots to offer. But I believe in that Liverpool team now, you know, he's not going to win a title when he's a Liverpool player. He had the chance to go to Chelsea years ago. Didn't happen for him, you know. So for a player of Steven Gerrard's quality. And it's the most amazing fact is that he's won the Champions League more times than he won the Premier League. And years gone by, that would never be the case. So
should he have gone to Chelsea?
That's a very difficult one. It's a very difficult, because Liverpool were champions of Europe. Chelsea haven't won that. You know, he's a Liverpool lad through and through. It's nice to see loyalty, him and Jamie Carragher to Liverpool Football Club. You know, he'll go down as an absolute, probably one of Liverpool's best ever players, you know. But you know, if he would have got to Chelsea, he probably would have won the league. So, you know, it's what if I could dance, I'd win Strictly.
I mean, he's the wrong side of 30 now, obviously. How far are Liverpool away from winning the league? 3 years? 4 years?
Probably another £150, £200 million in terms of investment into the players. You look at what they're doing this year, they're drawing against teams who've been promoted. You know, they might raise the game against the bigger team. It's just, there must be something fundamentally wrong. That when you're playing Norwich and Swansea at home, no disrespect to them teams, because they've just come up. Liverpool Football Club should be beating them teams, no question. I just don't think the money, you know, you look at the money Kendrick has spent, it's not the players' fault, but you're looking, you know, £55 million quid on Carroll and Henderson. Wow. You know, £19 million Downing. That's £74 million there on three players who wasn't getting Man City, Man United or Chelsea's team.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I mean, there are...
Whereas Liverpool, whereas United and Chelsea and City buy players who are going to have an impact on the league, on the Premier League title on their team, Liverpool have bought players who aren't going to affect the outcome of the Premier League, if that's a fair comment.
Let's look at the Premier League this weekend, then back after the international break. When you look down that slate of games, can you see any upsets there? There's City playing Newcastle at home, Swansea playing United in the ESPN game, which we'll talk about later. Can you see anything untoward happening this week?
No, I can't. I think City will beat Newcastle. I think Newcastle have done unbelievably well, but I think this will be their biggest test now, and I think City will win. I think Swansea United, you know, Swansea will play their part in football. They won't change, but when you play against better football oppositions, the better footballing team usually, you know, wins the game. You have to mix it up, maybe get, you know, in their face a bit more, hurry them, hassle them. But what Swansea won't do, they won't change the style of play for nobody. They'll keep passing on the back. You know, they'll build up, play through Joe Allen midfield. He's a fantastic player, by the way. He's going to be a great, great player, Joe Allen. Mm. You know, in Swansea's goalkeeper, they've got Vaughan, who's on fire. But one thing Swansea will do, they'll attack and, you know, in the wide areas. I think it's in the wide areas, probably in Dyer and Sinclair, you know, who, with Everett and probably Small, and, you know, I think them are the areas that, you know, they can get at United and through midfield. Because I still believe United haven't got that world-class midfielder.
Yeah.
You know, I think the way Swansea play through that middle of the park with a three in there, that's where they could hurt United. But I just think United's experience, you know, will come in. What a great day for Swansea, though.
The big talking point of the end of this week has been Sepp Blatter's remarks about there being no racism in football, and that if there were racist remarks, he should just shake hands and get on with it. I don't know. Should he go now?
Yeah. Should leave. Should not leave. The people below him should get together and say, no, this guy needs to go. He should be sacked. He should be... Can you sack the boss? I don't know, but... You know, people in football now should get together and get this guy out. It's ridiculous statements. You know, it's okay clarifying afterwards. You don't clarify. Listen, if I say something on the BBC on the Daily Mirror or on the ESPN, I'm out. That's me gone. I'm sacked.
Hmm.
You can't say stuff like that. It's supposed to be ludicrous. I thought, you know, I've seen people on Twitter saying, you know, have I just heard rightly? You can't say that. Also, you can be race abuser in a football pitch and then just shake hands afterwards and forget about it. No, you can't. It's nonsense.
Hmm.
You know, for me, you know, awarding the guitar the World Cup in 50 degrees of heat was a joke. This is even worse. This is the final straw. This guy has to go. And people have to get together in football and think, we can't have no more of this, because what you said there is absolutely disgraceful.
Hmm. Yes, it is kind of the final straw. I don't think he will go, though. I think he'll manage to hang on again.
But there should be people, somebody should now stand up who's below him, a few of them. You know, there must be senior people below him, and all get together and say, "This is ruining people's credibility."
Do you think the FA should consider withdrawing from FIFA or?
Of course, because British football, when I was and now, just kick racism out of football. When you've got the world lead of football saying that, just makes a mockery of the thing. It's an absolute joke. You know.
Yeah.
It's shocking. Shocking.
Yes, it is.
I'm gobsmacked.
It is just as incredible. Thanks very much to Robbie Savage there. Joining us now, live from Newcastle, is Simon Bird. How are you, mate?
Very good, thanks.
Now, Newcastle go to Man City on Saturday. It's the battle of the Premier League's two unbeaten teams. First of all, how on earth have Newcastle managed to be unbeaten? They've not really played the top teams? They've played Arsenal and Spurs, haven't they? Drawn with both. Maybe Arsenal weren't at their best then. Spurs were just coming into form, weren't they? But they've played really well. What is it? How have they managed this?
Well, look, it is true to say they haven't actually met any of the huge clubs, and the big, you know, they've got a big test in the next three games with City, Man United away, and Chelsea at home on December the 3rd. But the fact is, you know, lots of teams have played each other who were expected to, you know, Newcastle only expected to be in the bottom half of the league, mm-hmm. or maybe just pushing 10th or 9th place this year. They've done it through, they surprised us all, first of all. But they've done it through really solid teamwork and really good coaching. You know, we've seen the team evolve through this season, and they've shown a lot of different types of characteristics through the 11 games, unbeaten run. But the secret to it is they've had a really solid back line, defenders playing very well, Stephen Taylor and Coloccini, Ryan Taylor fitting in at left back when we didn't think he was even a left back at the start of the season, Danny Simpson's done very well. But it's a team defensive effort that are getting them through games, in that every can the opponents get a ball, Newcastle have four or five men moving in a certain direction just to press, subtly press the other team and suck the life out of them and take the space away. And it's worked, and it's worked most games, and it's got them through some very tough situations, like at Stoke a couple of Mondays ago when they came out with the victory. And also, players are playing above themselves, like, you know, Leon Best, we didn't expect him to score many goals. Denver Barr had a terrible start, but then suddenly he scores 8 goals in 4 games. And a lot of elements like that have come together and given the Geordies a lot of joy this year.
Now, I know that people don't get carried away in Newcastle, by the way, when Newcastle United are winning. What is the mood in the city at the moment? Are they going absolutely mental?
Well, they're extremely encouraged by what's happened. I mean, the gloss has been taken off somewhat by the St James's Park name changing over last week. But if you're talking about just on the pitch and how the players and the manager are performing, everyone is absolutely over the moon with it. You can see in the attendances, you know, attendances of 40, 43,000 are now up in the 50s. You know, they're almost selling that stadium out again. It's creating a great atmosphere at St James's Park. And, you know, no one's getting carried away. No one's saying Newcastle United up here, and the real fans aren't saying fourth place, they can get Champions League, or even they can get Europe this year. You know, you might think top six would squeeze into the UEFA Cup, possibly seventh. I think that the most people think seventh place is the highest Newcastle could possibly go for, because if you're going to break up the likes of Liverpool, Tottenham, Arsenal, that's a tough job. That's a whole new dimension, especially when Newcastle get a few injuries and their squad's a little bit thin. Seventh place would be fantastic. That's what most people have got their eyes on as the best case scenario this year. If that takes them to Europe, then fantastic.
There are some injuries about now, aren't there? Which is, with a fairly thin squad, is not really going to help. Sylvain Marvo, I know he's out, but he's kind of he's not a regular starter, is he? He's a bit part player. But yeah. Tiote, Obertan, and the main one is Kabai, isn't it? Is he going to play?
Well, I think Kabai's fine. The main one's Tiote, who's been out for a couple of games. But then we thought he's a vital player for Newcastle. He really sets the tone. He's aggressive and he's hard in the middle of midfield there. And we thought he's out for a couple of games. Ooh, this could be dodgy. But then Danny Guthrie, a man who I saw walking out of the St James's Park Stadium in a huff because he wasn't even in the squad about a month ago. Danny Guthrie gets his chance and plays absolutely brilliantly for 2 games. And really, Newcastle haven't missed Cheick Tiote because of Danny Guthrie coming in. The same happened when Obertan injured his foot and got a foot infection a couple of weeks ago. Marvo came in and was fantastic, deserved his chance and took it. So, but obviously he's injured now with his groin injury. So there are a few injuries creeping in there. And the biggest worry that I have is if one of the centre-backs gets injured. Yes. Colaccini is absolutely vital. The composed way he defends, nicks the ball and then uses it is really important to Newcastle, keeping the ball and keeping the momentum going. Same with Stephen Taylor. He's been fantastic. And I'm surprised he's not been mentioned in England reckoning for the last two friendly games.
Yes, it is. It is a thin squad. It is a really thin squad. You mentioned Obertan there. I mean, players who leave Man United tend not to do anything, do they? Nicky Butts stuck around for a while, didn't he? He was in the team that got relegated. But generally, if you leave Man United, it's a downward step. But Obertan was impressive in the first few games of the season. Did he lose his way a little bit before the injury? Or has he been consistently good?
He was slightly frustrating the crowd, I think, and you could sense that at certain games, because he's clearly got blistering pace. He's fantastic. He's a bit like Gutierrez on the other wing. You give him the ball, and he's a pressure reliever. He'll go steaming up the wing, keep the ball, take the ground, let the defence have a rest. But people have been slightly frustrated that he doesn't then whip across in and cause a dangerous ball to be whipped in. And he likes to beat this man, and he tries to beat him again, and that's been slightly frustrating. If they could get Obertan to perfect his crossing with both feet, really get it accurate and pinpoint, then they'd have a very good player on his hands.
In terms of the way they stack up against Manchester City, then, are they ideally placed to defend against that kind of playing in between the lines that City like to do, pulling back the wingers to help out, doubling up on City's wide players?
Yeah, that's important, but also protecting the centre back is important. And I would feel more comfortable if Jota, who is touch and go, possibly erring towards being injured still for the weekend. I would be happier if he was playing in terms of breaking things up in the middle and protecting the, you know, the clever positions that people take up in the Man City team. So, you know, it's going to be a tough game. I think what Newcastle are saying is, if they can get anything out of this, it's a bonus. They do think they can get something out of it, but it will take Man City to have a slightly off day and Newcastle to have one of their really good, hard-working, you know, team spirit days that they've had in the past 11 games.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about them playing to in a regimented way or regimented roles, are they an exciting team to watch?
They are, because they play good football.
Yeah.
They can actually mix it up and play all kinds of football. That's the beauty of it. They're not a long ball team. They're not a brutish team who humps it, but they can do if they want to Leon Best, and he'll win the ball. And he's done very well this year. But what he wanted to evolve the team this year was, last year he thought, with Kevin Nolan playing in the hole and various other older players there, he thought they were functional and they could always score from a set piece, but there wasn't very much of a fluidity around Newcastle. And that's why he was happy for Nolan to go and, you know, Kabay to come in. And it's very much more of a fluid team. They knock the ball about, the possession's good. And he wants the team, from the start of the season, he told them that he wanted them to master the ball and dictate passages of play for long periods by keeping possession. And they do that now. It's been drilled into them, and it's quite a nice thing to watch, with Newcastle controlling a game and keeping the ball. And they've got the two wingers, so the play gets nicely stretched. And, you know, Gutierrez has had a very good year. So they're a good team to watch. They can play all types of football and mix it up when they need to.
And just a word for the other North East Premier League team before we let you go. I mean, it's a relief, really, for them to have a couple of weeks off, isn't it? Although I know they did go into the international break on the back of a decent result. There's been no Premier League manager sacked so far this season, which is remarkable, really. Steve Bruce, do you think he'll last the season?
I hope he will, because I think he's one of the most humane, ordinary, nice blokes to chat to you can get in terms of doing our jobs as journalists up here. But he is under the cosh a little bit from the fans at the moment. Now, there's a crucial couple of games coming up, you know, this weekend, Fulham and then Wigan, both at home, both games that they would expect to win, or certainly they should be getting wins at home against that kind of team if they've got top 10 ambitions. It really is a crucial couple of weeks for Steve Bruce. I argued in a Mirror Football column a few weeks ago that you know, the form had been very bad. They've been probably sort of showing relegation form since last January. It's dating back a long time, this. Now, he's rejigged it in the summer. If we get to this January and it's been a whole 12 months of relegation form and they've only got, say, 25, 28 points from the whole, in the whole 12 months, then I think Steve Bruce probably couldn't argue if Alex Short looked at it and thought, let's shake things up a little bit. But I think he's got a couple of months now just to steady the ship, and hopefully he can do that and he'll be off and running again.
Yeah, and those two games really are crucial. Thanks very much, Simon Bird.
Cheers.
Joining us now on the Mirror Football podcast, an actor, comedian, a game show host, most importantly, a Bolton fan. His new DVD, which is called Saturday Night Live, is out on the 21st of November. How the hell are you, Paddy McGuinness?
Very good, thanks. How are you?
Very, very good. Chipper.
Have you still got the tag on the ankle?
It's coming off soon. It's coming off soon.
Good.
The curfew will soon be lifted, my friend.
You're off the offenders register.
Absolutely. Shall we start with Bolton? I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Should we just go straight in?
If we must.
I mean, it was all... Everything was all looking so good, wasn't it? And then, did you go to Wembley last... last May?
Yeah, the Wembley game. Believe it or not, it was my stag night.
Wonderful.
So what I did, I had a group of different mates, so I organised to go to this game with a few... There were a few, like me, Ricky Hatton, Chris Kamara, funnily enough, Deck from Ant and Deck.
Oh, blimey, what?
It were a bit of a mad one, but it were like, I went down, absolutely stunning weather, you know, you're just thinking, this is if Carlsberg could do stag do's kind of thing. I thought, this is going to be fantastic, this. And we sat there, and sometimes before a game, I was looking at all the Stoke fans, they were bathed in sunshine, and it was like a sea of red and white, the banners flying about, what have you. And our end of the stadium kind of weren't even full up in the shade. And I just had a feeling, I don't think we're going to do this today. I didn't expect it to be 5-0.
No.
No one ever thought that. And it was a real shell shock. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And I would proper, you know, as soon as your team doesn't perform well, you know, it's kind of, you think, right, all right, you're not happy, but, you know, it happens. But in a semi-final, massive cup game, you think, come on. I think that's what really got to everyone, really, especially my mates who are Bolton fans as well. It was just,
yeah,
it was just the occasion, really. Like, you know, if it had been a league game, like, you wouldn't have been happy. But, you know, it does happen that, just look at, like, you know, City against United, it happens. But not in a semi-final of an FA Cup.
It would kind of take the shine off the stag night, I would imagine.
Oh, it did. It was, but, you know, in another way, I'll,
karaoke, like, afterwards, or
drown me sorrows, lads.
Yes.
You know, keep them drinks coming.
Yes.
So, you know, that was that. But yeah, and then since then, you know, people said, oh, you know, it's not something, they've never been the same since then. Well, you know, I mean, I don't think it's anything to do with that game. It's just, we've just not been performing well enough. But, I mean, it was just, you know, Jimmy Greaves, funny old game. I mean, God, who'd expect us to play him again and beat them
5-0? That's right, yeah.
It was just fantastic. And, you know, I did an interview a couple of days before that game, and the bloke interview was from Stoke, and he was giving it the big licks and all the rest of it, you know. And I said, you know, I'm one of them people, and all, if your team gets beat, you know, other team are decent enough, I'll always say, yeah, they were better than us, you know, I won't make excuses. But he was really giving it the big licks about how he's looking forward to that game. I thought, oh, I'd love to have seen him after that. But, you know, it doesn't happen, does it?
It doesn't, no, it doesn't happen. But, I mean, so the international break sort of came at a bad time, didn't it, really? Because they hadn't won, they'd been beat by Swansea, and
I know,
and then they beat Stoke, and then you have to have 2 weeks off.
I know, just to get a bit of momentum. But, you know, it is nice to get a 5-0 under your belt. It's amazing this season, some of these games and some of these, you know, some of these scores and what. It'd be interesting to kind of, if, you know, look at the stats over the years and which season they've had the most goals, because I tell you what, there's been some great games, I think, this season. Plenty of goals.
Oh, yeah, there's been a lot of goals. I mean,
who'd have thought you'd ever see United get hammered like that?
Well, I mean, I support City, so I've always thought it would happen, but there you go. It's more out of hope than expectation, I've got to say.
You're a City fan?
Yes.
I mean, are you feeling, you know, obviously they're flying at the minute and it's great, but do you feel a little bit like, oh, it's all a bit kind of, it's just the money.
Well, it's a little bit artificial,
isn't
it?
The players wouldn't come there if it wasn't like that.
Yeah, but I don't really give a bugger, to be honest with you. But I'm just enjoying it. But yes, I do feel a bit like that. But yeah, I'm interviewing you here anyway. Are you going to ask me about my DVD in a minute?
What's that?
I'm doing the interview in here. Hang on. So, I mean,
sorry, go
on. No, it's all right. I like it. I like a little bit of cross talk, a bit of interplay. Yeah. It's nice. Yeah, it shows nice. We've got a good rapport, you know. So, Owen Coyle, I mean, this time last year he was going to be the next manager of Arsenal. Are you still an Owen Coyle fan? And,
of course I am.
Yeah, yeah. And is the football noticeably different than it was under Big Sam, or is that a myth?
Oh, God. Well, never. Well, it's not so much Sam. It's like, obviously, Tuchel from Gary Megson.
Yeah.
No.
Hard act to follow.
If they'd have got Jozy Fritzl in, it would have been all right. To Bolton fans,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I never used to slag Megs enough, because I just kind of think, you know, it's a pressure job, football. And, you know, from what these football managers know about football compared to us lads, you know, it's it's not, you can't even compare it. So I thought, I can't start slagging him off. I knew the fans were happy with him right from the word go, matter what results he got. He just didn't tell. The only thing I kind of thought about Megson before he came was I looked at how many clubs he'd managed, and he'd managed a hell of a lot of clubs, and he'd kind of done a season at a club or a couple of seasons at a club, and he'd moved to the next one. And that, for me, rang bells, because I thought, you know, if he's getting sacked or leaving every other season, then clearly there's something not right. But like you say, it was never gonna work for him right from the word go. But it was amazing after the games. If you ever heard him in an interview, like on Match of the Day when he was talking, you'd think we had like Mourinho manager and us. You know, he'd come pull out these stats, and you think, oh, we sound like best team in the world here. You know,
yeah.
Just got beat 3-0. So. I think as a Bolton fan, you were glad to have someone coming who has a team playing a little bit better football, really. You know you're never going to win the league. As long as you stay in the Premier League, and I think as long as we kind of, like you say, had a shouting, like, cup run, like FA Cup and what have you, and we got to the semis and everyone was buzzing, and obviously that happened, we were happy. But just to see us playing a bit better football, really, especially, like I say, after Megson, so negative.
And Megson had that sort of Steve McLaren thing, didn't he? The wispy sort of ginger look
The ginger Mourinho.
And he sort of had that little tuft of hair as well, didn't he, at the front? And I don't know. There was a little.
I mean, you know, he never stopped Wayne Rooney.
Well, no. But now he's got the full head. He's got the full head now.
I mean, you know, I agree. You know, either isn't the best. But what's that got to do with being a football manager?
Well, I don't know. I mean. See, Sammy Lee's hair for me is always unconvincing. That's why he had to go, and then you replace him with another ginger. It's very, very odd.
But mind you, what's your man called at Chelsea? He's a ginger lad, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He is, and he looks.
He might have bucked the trend.
And he looks exactly like Juan Mata. He's bought a sort of player who looks, you know, it's like the dogs.
Shows you. I mean, our second keeper's Ron Weasley at Harry Potter. You know, it's just one of them things. They come, these ginger lads, and they try their best, and, you know, every credit to them.
Yeah, absolutely. You've had some... I mean, Owen Coyle, when he was a player, was quite hard, wasn't he? Was he an idol of yours, or were you a John McGinley sort of man?
No, I was definitely more John McGinley. But the amazing thing with Owen is, like you say, how he was as a player. And when I first met him, you know, talked to him, he's like totally not... You know, he doesn't drink, he's... Nice bloke, goes to church every week. You know, he's just a lovely fella, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, especially after meeting him, you're kind of willing him to do well, you know. We're on this run of losing games. And the good thing is, I think, for Bolton and for Bolton fans is, probably any other club, they'd have got rid. You know what I mean? Because there is this trend of, like, if they lose more than, like, you know, 7 or 8 games on the trot, that's it.
Yeah, they'd be panicking. They would be panicking.
But I think they know with him, you know, it'll come good. And like you say, the international breaks come at the wrong time, but we'll just see what happens now.
Yeah. I mean, he was a bit of a ratter, wasn't he? If Big Sam and Bruce Rioch were to meet on the cobbles, who would you fancy in a bare-knuckle contest? I mean, Big Sam's got the height advantage, obviously.
I'd probably go Sam Allardyce all day long, though, really. I mean, have you ever met Sam?
He's Big Sam, isn't he? Yeah.
Oh, God, you shake his arm. It's frightening.
Yeah.
It'd have to be Sam. That'd be Sam, definitely.
Big Sam. Now, obviously, another great institution which began in Bolton is the 10th anniversary of Phoenix Knights. Is that right? Was it 2001? Yeah. It was, yeah. Oh,
that's mental.
Did you?
I didn't even know that.
Did you have any kind of idea when you did that? What were you doing before Phoenix Knights, by the way?
Well, at the time of Phoenix Knights, I used to work part-time in a leisure centre for Bolton Council, and I was a labourer on a building site as well. So I had two jobs on the go.
Yeah.
And I used to do a little bit of stand-up now and again. And this show come along, and everybody involved in it had never done any TV before. 90% of cast, like I said, were all from a stand-up background. And it was just one of the things where we were doing it and we were filming it, but I don't think anyone ever thought it was going to be popular, as popular as what it was. And we just had a really good time doing it. You know, a lot of happy memories. We're all young lads. We're all single at the time, and it was just a good fun time, you know. But I think how it got really popular, Phoenix Nights, was after it got released on DVD, really. Because when the first series were on TV, it never used to get that many viewing figures. More of a cult kind of show. And then it went out on DVD, and people kind of word of mouth spread. And then the second series just went mad then, and that was that.
And you've done all this. You've done all this stuff since, which has obviously come from it, from the Max and Paddy stuff. You've done the 71 Degrees North. You've done Take Me Out, which is great. Would you drop all that to make a third series of Phoenix Nights? Is that ever going to happen?
I mean, I think personally with Phoenix Nights, the tricky one now would be getting everyone back together. Because obviously everyone's gone on to do their own thing now. And TV programmes, people go, oh, bring back this, bring that out. But what people don't realise is for a TV show, you've got to kind of blank out 12 months of your diary, you know, from writing it to kind of recceing locations and different things and storylines and then filming it and then getting it on TV. So it'll be a big deal getting everyone back together, I think. But that would be the hardest part.
I mean, two series is... The Office did two series, didn't they? Fawlty Towers famously did two series.
Yeah.
It's probably best left alone, isn't it? I mean...
Well, this is it. I mean, I think, you know, all the lads are very talented who are involved in Phoenix Nights. And, you know, it would be... in another series, it wouldn't struggle. But it's like... You see, I don't think anyone kind of thought, oh, two series and that is it. That's it. It just happened naturally, really.
Of course, one of the other great things that's happened to you is you've become a sort of staple on the celebrity football circuit, haven't you? You've played in Soccer Aid. I know do you still play in Bolton as well?
I play every week. I only stopped playing Sunday League up to about a year and a half ago. I was playing in a game, and as Sunday League games, especially in Bolton, when it kicked off as normal... when I say kick off, I don't mean in footballing terms either. I were kind of in the middle of this, like, you know, 18-man punch-up, and I thought, hang on a minute.
Not the face.
I'm on the telly.
Yeah, not the face.
I'm doing this, you know, so, So, that's what stopped. I still play every week with my mates. I've always loved football ever since I were a kid. And I think the great thing, one of the perks of the jobs for me is playing in these charity games like that. I mean, I was talking to Kevin Davis about 3 or 4 months ago. We're having a brew at our house and we were chatting. We were going on about Soccer Aid, and he said, give me right arm to play against Zidane. This is a Premier League footballer talking to me, you know. And I thought, God, he's got, you know, because I was on a pitch there at Old Trafford and I looked up and I had Zidane, Figo and Larson running towards me. And I thought, wow, it's
not bad, is it? But you had Mike Myers, so you'll be all right.
Yeah. He was a bad little player, Mike Myers, to be fair.
What's your position, Paddy?
I think these days I'm just firmly at right back, really. I used to like playing. Listen, in games like that, I'll go in the net. I don't mind as long as I can get a piece of the action. It doesn't matter to me, but. Yeah, but you definitely feel it. Like I say, I still play now during the week with my mates, but I remember one time you kind of go with your mates playing football and you get on the, have a kick about for a couple of hours and then you go to the pub. And now we do the same thing, but the first hour is stretching.
Right.
Warming up because you're absolutely frigged. You know, and then day after you can't walk. I still enjoy doing it now, but I can definitely feel it as I get older.
Yeah. I mean, do you get tongue-tied with those guys, the Zidanes? I know you were very impressed with Des Walker, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, but not for footballing reasons. Well, not for, like an old-school gym rope. But I think when I'm playing in them kind of games, like I say, I'm lucky enough to have played in some really cracking games with some fantastic players. And I properly do take it all in. So I just like You know, I played in one for Sir Bobby Robson before he passed away.
Oh, yeah.
We had a tribute game up at St. James's.
Oh, the one just before he died, yeah?
That's right, yeah. And we're in, you know, and again, I were in the change rooms there, and, you know, as you Alan Shearer, and you're just thinking, God, it's fantastic, this, you know.
Hmm.
So I really take it in. Not, once you're on the pitch and you're playing, it's a bit mad because you do suddenly start just, you know, you start playing football and everything else, but the build-up to it, and after it as well, you know, it's fantastic.
Oh, it must be. It must be great.
Yeah, it is.
Did you play in the great Woody Harrelson game, the penalty? Was that one of yours?
Yeah, I missed mine.
Yes.
I scattered mine. Oh. Yeah, no. But Woody Harrelson were great because all week, all he did were kind of walk around in some kind of like marijuana-induced haze. And he was a bit kind of LA and an absolutely lovely bloke. Didn't have a clue about football.
No.
And we were talking about it for a game. I said, God, I said, wouldn't it be one of the kind of weird twists of fate if he scores a winning penalty? And bang, he did.
He did. After trying to put it in the... He tried to take it from the D, didn't he, or somewhere like that?
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of their team was some an American actor out of a series called Heroes, and he didn't even know how to take a corner. He was throwing it in from a corner, and but I think definitely what won it for them were the ex-pros were a lot fitter, and I mean they had Ryan Giggs. He's still playing Champions League football now.
Yeah, he's
you know,
he's active.
Ryan Giggs, and they had Sammy Appiah, and they had Zidane and Figo. You know, and they're all like fit as fiddles. They're all not long retired, and most of them, like you say, are still playing.
Yeah, yeah. You're, I mean, you've also done a lot of adverts in your time, clearly.
I've done two adverts. One's for pasties, the other's for gambling.
This is it. This is it. So
I know a lot about both.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you've got a tenner bet with Victor, your friend Victor Chandler, who you sit next to at the football, are you going to put what are you going to put it on?
Have I got any choice?
Well, you've got a choice. Yeah, a football-related bet. Or are you going to spend it all on Greg's?
I'll put it on for a Wint League.
For what?
I'll put a bet on for who win the league this season.
Good. And who's your money going on?
I'm gonna go with United.
Oh, you can...
I know you're not gonna like that. Yeah. I know we're all getting carried away, and I'm loving, like I say, most of my mates are City fans, and I'm loving watching City play. But I think it's one of them. Looking at their side, it's a great side, but I just don't think they've got the unity United have got yet, and they've not got that kind of. They've not won titles, you know. United do it season after season after season. And I just think, come January, end of January, it'll be a different team, that City team. But, you know, I might be wrong. It'd be great if they do win it, but I'd still go for United at the minute.
I can't believe you're a Bolton lad saying this. It would be...
I know. Well, this is my mate, so I'll have a go at me about that.
Yes.
Because I just like football in general.
Yes.
And like I say... And the majority of me is are City fans, but I don't know. I mean, Balotelli, he's fantastic, but he's just mad as a box of toast. And you just can't rely on players like that. They're great when they're playing well, but you don't know what he's going to be like, you know, week in, week out, you know, so...
Well, I think we can say is we be consistently mental. So before we go, just tell us about the new DVD.
I forgot that's what we're talking
about. Yes, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So I just did this arena tour, and it's the biggest kind of tour I've ever done, and it was fantastic. We had a great, it was called Saturday Night Live, because that's the only nights I wanted to do. So this tour is called Saturday Night Live. I kicked off on a Thursday in Birmingham, so already a little bit awkward, but the audience kind of got into it, and it was that whole vibe of when I grew up watching telly, I used to love big entertainment shows. And I kind of brought that to the arenas, really. So as well as all the stand-up, there's a bit of music in there. It's a lot more of a visual kind of show as well. But I finished editing the DVD the other week, and it's looking really good. It's out on the 21st.
Well, everyone go and buy it. Saturday Night Live. Thanks very much, Paddy McGuinness.
God bless you. You're a gentleman and a gentleman.
Thanks to Paddy McGuinness, thanks to Simon Bird, thanks to Robbie Savage, and most of all, thanks to you for listening. We'll be back next week with another Mirror Football podcast.